We left off last year, we were discussing the question if you have multiple people attacking at the same time, who, if any, is considered to be the Rotzeach for the purposes of Mises Beis Din. So we said that there was a machlekes afternoon between Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah and the Rabbanon. If you have Nebuch, you have a victim, and he's attacked by Reuven, by Shimon, by Levi, 10 people in a row hit him, and by the time the last person hits him, so we know he is the one who ultimately killed him, the question is he still chayav misa for that action? So the Rabbanon said no. The Rabbanon said that since the Pasuk says, Ish kiyach kol nefesh adam, you only chayav misa if you kill the entire person. The person is already Nebuch, he's already 99% almost dead, even though he's technically still alive. That wouldn't be chayav because of the act of Ritzach. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah disagreed. He said no. That the same word, the same Pasuk teaches us the exact opposite. Ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam. Kol means kol do. Even a kol should have been the smallest amount of nefesh one would be chayav for. So that was the background of the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah and the Rabbanon. But the part that the Gemara says everybody agrees to is that if it's bevas akas and there are 10 people ganging up at somebody simultaneously, then for sure you're potter. Then it's not a shayla, then you're going to be potter. So we had a question, and the Rishonim was actually two different interpretations of Rashi. Rashi in one place writes one way. Rashi in another place writes another way. About why exactly is that so? Why is that a given? Why does everybody subscribe to that Torah? So Rashi in Bava Kamma throws up his hands and says it's a pure technical issue. Ein yodei mi hargo. You have no idea who actually killed him. You have 10 people hitting at the same time, so who knows who's the one whose blow actually killed the person. So therefore, misafik, you can't give anybody misa. But Rashi and Sanhedrin said a different word, said a lumdish word, that even in theory, if you wouldn't know who hit him, it's a din of shnayim shahargu, shnayim shasa'u potter. The same way as in Shabbos we find that if two people carry something together, they both get off scot-free. So too, if two people hit together, they're potter because it's a halacha that echad ahoreg v'lo shnayim shahargu. So it's not a technical issue that we don't know who killed him. That's not the point. The point is that halachically, if you killed somebody together with somebody else's assistance, that's not called an adam echad ha-retzech, that's called shnayim shahargu, and that would be potter. So we mentioned at the very end of the shiur on Wednesday that there was this pivotal gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Nun Gimel that actually wasn't even really focusing on a person kill, it was actually focusing on an animal killing. But for all practical purposes, the rules are the same because an animal is only chayef if and when a person would have been chayef on a similar action. And then the owner of the animal is only chayef to pay kofar if and when the animal would have been chayef misa. So even though the particular case that we're talking about is not Reuven killing Shimon, it's not 10 people ganging up and killing Shimon. We're talking about an animal killing somebody, but anything and everything that we're talking about concerning kofar is just an extension of the rule of, well, would the animal have been chayav misa, which is another extension of the rule, would a person in a similar scenario have been chayav misa as well? So the Gemara was said in Bava Kamma Daf Nun Gimel, if a person and an animal gang up and somebody pushed a person into the boar, so when it comes to paying a kofar, so only the owner of the animal will be chayav. A person is never chayav kofar. That's based on psukim, based on kibbutz drama, based on a variety of reasons. But if Reuven kills Shimon, there's never going to be kofar for that. Maybe chayav is based in, but there's not going to be kofar. The halach of kofar is explicit in the Chumash, only applies to a shor shaharag. So what would the din be if you have Reuven and Shimon shor gang up together to kill Levi, push Levi into the pit? So the Gemara says that Reuven is going to be potter from kofar, and Shimon Shor, or Ishimon, is going to be chayav to pay kofar. So ask Tosfos, what are you talking about? How in the world could Shimon be chayav to pay kofar? His animal killed together with Reuven. And since the animal and Reuven ganged up together to kill Levi, that should, we should apply the rule of kulam p'turim. Everybody's potter from Misa, and if everyone's potter from Misa, they should be potter from kofar. So Tosfos got into a lot of trouble with that. Kasha started to revamp the Gemara, the whole story. But it comes to Rashba, the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, at the top of that page, and says that the question doesn't even get off the ground. Why does the question get off the ground? Says the Rashba as follows, at the top of the back page. The imi shumi ku asar b'nei adam, mistavrali, it would appear logical to me, says the Rashba, lo kashiv lo midei. The whole question isn't a valid question. The ad kan lo amru, ela b'shei ku asara biyud maklos. When do we say that if 10 people gang up, they're all potter? That's if they hit with 10 different sticks. The lake of each kiyaka kol nefesh. Aval hocha, kevin shedachvu biyachad, kechad chashvin onlei. Says the Rashba, if they're hitting together, if they're holding the same stick, That's not a p'tur. That's just the reality is that there are two people who ganged up together to kill Reuven. But if two people gang up together, that's if they're coming from different angles, they're coming from different sides. What's the svara? Makes a lot of sense. Because the Rashba seems to be learning why you potter, because we have no idea who did the killing. So if Reuven and Shimon are hitting simultaneously with two different sticks, two different sides, so then you never really know who did the killing. But if Reuven and Shimon are holding the same stick and they're hitting together, we know exactly who did the killing. Reuven and Shimon did the killing. So if Reuven and Shimon are holding the gun and they're pressing the trigger together, so of course they both killed. If two different guns, two different people, two different sides, then you don't really know who was the Ritzach. But if they're holding the murder weapon together, so of course they're both chayev. I give out the shnayim shasa'uha. So the Rashba would say to us, this is not Masechah Shabbos, this is Masechah Sanhedrin. There is no pasuk of shnayim shasa'uha. There is no p'tur because you had a partner holding on to the gun with you. That's not a p'tur d'chus ritzicha, it's a p'tur d'chus Shabbos. So the Rashba says that the answer that tells this question is very, very simple. That we have absolutely no precedent. There's no case in the Gemara of two people holding the same stick. There's no case in the Gemara of two people holding the same trigger down. Under those circumstances, they would in fact both be chayev. And therefore, when the Adam and the Shor simultaneously push the person into the pit, so they're both chayev together. Now, from the Baal HaShor's vantage point, that's going to translate into a chayev kofar. So that's exactly what the Gemara says, that under those circumstances, will be chayev kofar. So the Rashba just opened up for us this shaila about, it's the one case that doesn't appear in the Gemara. In the Gemara, we talk about 10 people hitting 10, hitting somebody, bazeh chazeh. And we talk about 10 people with 10 sticks hitting bevasachas. But the one case that's really critical, says the Rashi, the Gemara doesn't talk about, when you have multiple people hitting together, mamash bevasachas, with the same stick, with the same murder weapon, that the Gemara doesn't address. You know why the Gemara doesn't address? Because it's obvious, says the Rashi, of course you're going to be chayav under those circumstances. So it's this background to our discussion that now sets the stage for a major question, how to read pshat in a Gemara in Maseches Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Beis and Beis. But in order to understand, to appreciate why this Gemara is even relevant to our discussion, we have to take a couple of steps back. So let's just familiarize ourselves with a basic question first, then we'll attack the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Beis, and then eventually, probably by today or by next week, we'll figure out how this is all going to be part of the same picture. So just a little bit of a background. There is a principle that appears in Maseches Kedusha, a very famous principle called Ein Shlichos L'Dvar Aveira. That whereas if I appoint you as a shaliach to be Mekadosh Anisha for me, I appoint you as a shaliach to sell my house for me, I appoint you as a shaliach to be separate truma for me. So we know there's a basic Torah principle called Shlucho Shlam Kemoso. What my agent, what my representative does relates back to me, it's as if I did it. However, the Gemara says the buck stops here by Averas. If Reuven tells Shimon to go kill Levi, so at the end of the day, the person who pulled the trigger is going to be chayav. He's the one who's going to be punished and based in. It doesn't mean that the person who hires the hitman is going to go tell him haba. He's considered to be like a goram, like a gram ritzach. So what he did was a terrible, terrible, terrible aveira to hire somebody else to kill somebody. But push comes to shove, the person who actually pulled the trigger is going to be the one who's chayav me. So because in the realm of shlichus, so we say ein shliach l'dvar aveira. Why is the ein shliach l'dvar aveira? That's a big question. So the Gemara has one interpretation as a simple svara. Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishamim. That means, who is the shaliach? Why in the world is the shaliach listening to the mishaleach? He should listen to the Rebbe. Who's the Rebbe? The Rebbe Shalom. So the whole concept, the whole Sadusha Shaliach doesn't make any sense when we're dealing with somebody who's telling you to do something wrong. Then the Gemara seems to back out from that. The Gemara seems to present it as a pasuk, as a gzeiras hakosav. But again, so it's a whole discussion in the Gemara, why the din is true, what the parameters of the din is. But the Bais, at the end of the day, ein shaliach l'dvar aveira, that halacha still stands. So there is a major machlokes in the Rishonim, which is presented to us as machlokes in Tosos and the Ritva, about the following situation. What if I appoint somebody as a shliach in an area of an aveira, but the shliach doesn't have a clue that what he's doing is wrong? He's a shagig. It could be, I don't even know what I'm doing is wrong. Nobody realized, kilchol ambishkava, nobody even realized that there was even an aveira taking place. But Lamai said there was. Objectively, there was an aveira, but nobody was aware of it. What would that locha be? Would we say that ain't shliach and aveira or not? So Tosfos says, no, Tosfos says, then the rule of Ein Shliach L'dvar Aveira breaks down. Why? So Tosfos had an interesting way of understanding this principle called Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishamim. What does that mean? Why does that prevent the Shlichus from taking effect? So Tosfos explains that Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishamim, what it basically means is, is that when I ask you to kill somebody, I don't really think you're going to do it. In my heart of hearts, I don't really believe you're going to do it. Why? Because what crazy person would listen to me and listen to the Rabbanu Shalom? So when I appointed you as a quote-unquote a shaliach, I never really appointed you. There was a chisan, the das, hashlichos. There was a deficiency in the intent of the mishaleach. I never really meant to appoint you because I never, in my heart of heart, believed you were going to act on my behalf. And therefore, the whole shlichos was never really appointed properly. The whole thing is butlum, the whole thing is null and void. So Tosa says, if that's the reason why ain't shlichos v'aveira, so wait a second, what if it's a shayge? What if you didn't even know you were doing anything wrong? So Tosa says that, of course, they shlichos. What's the shaylah? It's not that aveiras are absolutely excluded from the parasha of shlichos. Not that it's impossible to have shlichos on aveiras. It's that normally, in the realm of aveiras, there's a lack of an understanding. There's a lack of a commitment for this act to really take place. But if we can overcome that lack of commitment, because we'll just turn everyone into shogeg, then yes, yesh lichot v'aveira. That's famous shittas atosus that appears both in the seventh paragraph of the Kama, appears in the second paragraph of Kedushin. And the Ritva, in the second paragraph of Kedushin, disagrees vehemently with this tosus. The Ritva writes, in ain't shlichot v'aveira, don't ask any kashas, don't ask any svaras. It's not time for time of the cross. It's exeris hakosav, finished, learned out from a series of psukim, ain't shlichot v'aveira. It doesn't matter, he makes it, he shayi, your anus, your rutzot, he knows, she knows it. It's irrelevant. If it's an aveira, there's no shlichot. It's finished, end of discussion. So major machlekes, tosus in the Ritva. Tosus says, ain't shlichot v'aveira only applies when there's a knowledge of the Aveira, and the Ritva says that's not true. So now, let's take a look at the sixth of the Rambam Kamos. The sixth of the Rambam Kamos, and try to understand in context of this Machlekes Tosfos and the Ritva. The Gemara says, Masiv Rava, Hosev Lo Ritzu Achas Ameis, Harez Gola Al Yado. The Gemara is talking about the intricacies of the halachas of Ir Miklot. We know that if somebody kills Bishogeg, so they have to run to Ir Miklot. They have to go to Kolos to Ir Miklot. Going to Ir Miklot is really, it's good and bad in the sense of that it's a miserable existence. Like you're stuck, you know, I'll leave the Ir Miklot until Kohen Gadol dies, it could be another 50 years. On the other hand, it's very good for you on two counts. Number one, it's a protection because the Gol Adam, the relative, doesn't have the right to kill you in there. And number two, it's also mechaper. So for the aveira that you did an aveira, it wasn't on purpose. It was b'shogeg, but it was still you swung that axe and you weren't careful to check that the axe was safe. So that's an aveira, and that aveira requires a kapara. So going to Yamiklot has its pros and cons, but the ma'aseh din is that the person has to go to Yamiklot. So the Gemara quotes a case of an example where somebody would have to go to Yamiklot. The person who's giving makos, his job, he's working for the Beis Din, and he's supposed to administer makos, and he gave a little bit too much. And the person the person died, so it was clearly a shogeg. Obviously, he didn't mean to kill him. On the other hand, he did something wrong. He killed somebody unintentionally. So the Mishnah says, "Hoslo to achas umeis." If he gave him one extra hit, so I raise a golah yada. Then he would be chayav to go into golus. So the Gemara questions, "Va'achad the shogeg karv lemeis who the boy asuka daite the meisi inchi bechad ritzua." The Gemara says, "Wait a second. This person shouldn't even be entitled to go to golus." The Gemara tells us that you only go to golus if it was an absolute bona fide shogeg. It was a real, real, real mistake. It was real, real unintentionally. But what if a person killed somebody unintentionally? It's true. He wasn't the Rotzeach B'Mezid. On the other hand, he was very, very careless. He was super duper careless. He was called Shogeg Karv L'Mezid. Means again, he didn't literally pull a trigger and kill the person intentionally, but he was so, so, so careless at what he did that we can almost label him like a Karv L'Mezid. So then you don't get the opportunity to go to Ir Miklot, and now you got to spend the rest of your life looking over your shoulder to see whether the Golat Dog is going to come after you. So going to Ir Miklot is a good thing. You lose that privilege to go to Ir Miklot if you're Karv L'Mezid. So the Gemara says the person who gave the extra hitting, he's also Karv L'Mezid. I mean, didn't he realize? Didn't he know? He knows he's supposed to give him 30 makas, and he gave him 40. So isn't that a Karv L'Mezid? True, he didn't mean to kill him, but it's very, very mazid because the Gemara thought that he knew the extra makas may kill the person. The Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Simon Ardod, the Toy B'Minyana. Not the shot that he intentionally gave him the extra makah, hoping that he wouldn't die. He made a mistake. He counted wrong. People count wrong. People make a mistake when they count. So the case of the makah, the case of the Shlich Beis Din, who's going to go into your miklot, is not that the Shlich Beis Din knew that he was giving extra makah. He didn't even know he was giving extra makah. So tafakle Rava Besandale. So when Rava heard this teretz that was given by Rav Simi from Narda, Rava banged with his foot on the floor. He said, "I get vault." He says, Amalei Atu, who money? He says, what do you mean he made a mistake? The guy who's hitting, giving the makas made a mistake. He's not counting. There are makas has to be administered by three dayanim. So the Goloshim dayanim, so the greatest of the three, he's the one who reads the psukim. There are a series of psukim that are read to the person when he gets makas. So we explained to him, why are you getting makas for? Because you did a terrible aveira. You ate chazr in front of Edim, in front of an asra, b'mezid gomur, and you makabal asra. It's a terrible thing the person did. So the Golo gives a musar while he's getting makas. Vasheni mine, the second of the judges keeps count of how many makas are up to. The third person is the one who instructs the makah, the shliach, to do the actual makas. So it's not the person who's doing the hitting who's counting. It's the dayanim who are counting. So Gemara says, you're right. Let me explain what I meant. The tod dayanim gufe. Not that I made the mistake. The dayan made the mistake. But at the end of the day, a mistake was made. So push comes to shove. When the person gives the extra makah, it was not done intentionally. It was totally unintentional. It was mamash shogeg. He didn't even make the mistake counting. It's the other guy who made the mistake counting. It's the Bazin that made a mistake, but at the end of the day, someone never was killed, as we're showing. So when all the dust settles, the Shaliach Bazin, the person who is doing the hitting, is going to be Chayav Golos, because he, at the end of the day, was a Ritzeach v'shoyeg.
Shoyeg means negligence. That's the bottom line. Where was the negligence?
Oh, so shogeg is a tricky term. It doesn't really mean negligence. I mean, there are different gradations of shogeg. The shogeg karv ones, the shogeg, literal shogeg, then the shogeg karv lemezid. So the Gemara says, Malka says that the only person who goes to the miklat is the one who's right smack in the middle. Now, how do you know what's called karv lemezid? I don't know, we got to ask the criminal lawyers. They got a lot of, I imagine this is very, very, you know different degrees of what's considered to be how shogeg is shogeg. But a whole part of the Gemara calls the shogeg. This is a case. This will qualify, for whatever reason, this will qualify as a classic case of shogeg, and the person will have to go to your miklat for this. So comes the Ketzos in the seventh of the Maamar Kamos. You just see when the Ketzos read any and every Gemara, he read every line of the Gemara through the eyes of Kol Tarkula. He analyzed every line of the Gemara through this global understanding of everything else. So we read the Gemara, okay, very nice, two, three lines, very nice, can move on, next sugya. So Ketzos says, no, wait. For Raya Brura Nira, says the Ketzos, it's a Raya Brura, the Afilu Hecha de lo Yada Shaliach, Nami Ein Shaliach Edva Veira. The Ketzos is now addressing the Machlekes Tosas and the Ridva with the Sugi of Ein Shaliach Edva Veira. What's the Shaila? So we mentioned that Tosas says, Ein Shaliach Edva Veira is not always true. Sometimes there is Shaliach Edva Veira. Sometimes the Mishaleach is the one who's held accountable. If the Shaliach was a Shogeg, so wait, you can already see the wheels of the Ketzos turning. The Ketzos, wait a second. If Tosas is right, so then there's a big problem. We just quotes the Gemara, etc. Let's pick it up from the two lines on the bottom. We just quoted the Gemara. Two lines on the bottom, a couple of words into the line. If Tosas is right, that when the Shaliach is in the dark, the Shaliach isn't aware that he's doing an Aveira, then in fact, you have the wrong person going to your Miklat. Why is the Shaliach Bezdin going to your Miklat? Send the Bezdin into Golos. That's the Tosas Kasha. If Tosas is right, that yes, Shliach is the Dvaveira, when the Shliach is unintentional, and he's a Shayeg, so we have the there should be an Ir Miklat, but no, you get the wrong guy going to Ir Miklat. According to the Ritvo, says, Ein Shliach is the Dvaveira, end of discussion, because there's a cause of no exceptions, no ands, ifs, and buts. The person who pulled the trigger is chayev is going to be chayev for the aveira. So over here, the person who gave the hit is the one who's chayev for the aveira of killing b'shogeg. When you're chayev for killing b'shogeg, so you have to go to Golos. But according to Tosus, who entertains the possibility of liyeshlich is the aveira, so it's really truly the Beis Din that did the aveira. The Beis Din does the aveira, so the Beis Din should go into Golos. That's the Tosus raya brura. So can we be doiche? Do we have the goal to be doiche? The Hilge Ketzos is Raya. So comes along the Dvar Avram. Avram was the last Rav in Kovna, right before the war. He died. It was ready to come to the ghetto, before the Nazis liquidated the ghetto. The Dvar Avram died a natural death. He was the only man at the time. So the Dvar Avram suggest that maybe the answer to the Ktosis Kasha, to the dilemma of the Ktosis, isn't this a Raya Brura against Shita Ktosis? So the Avram says, maybe the answer lies in our sugya. Maybe it lies in the sugya of Shnayim Shesauha. Comes the Avram and he says, let's play devil's advocate for a second. Let's put the Beis Din. Let's send the Beis Din into Golos. He says, wait, says the Avram. When do you send somebody into Golos? When they did an act of Ritzicha B'Shayeg, a type of a Ritzicha that would have held them responsible if they would have done it B'Mezid. So let's say if I would have taken an axe and mamish, taken the top of the axe and thrown another person intentionally, that would have been a Chiyav Misa's Bezin for Ritzayach. I didn't do it intentionally. I was chopping the wood and now a piece of the axe flew away. So that's the parasha of Golos. That's the parasha of Ritzicha B'Shayeg. But the key, says the Dvavram, is it has to be a case that in theory it would have been Chiyav Misa for. When the Beis Din, quote unquote, killed this person, B'Shayeg, it was a Shnayim Sheikuhu. It was a Shlosha Sheikuhu. It was like 10 people hidden together because it was the group, it was the words of the Beis Din, it was the Psak of the Beis Din that emanated, and that Psak of the Beis Din was, quote unquote, responsible for the person who got killed. But wait a second, it wasn't one person we could point that finger to. It was the entire Beis Din that's authorizing this Makos. So the Beis Din that's authorizing Makos, you want to give the Mishaleach punishment. You want to follow Tosfos and say, Yesh lech d'vaveira, and we'll throw the Chiyuv of Golos back on the Dayonim? So no, you can't throw the Chiyuv of Golos back on the Dayonim, because the Dayonim are multiple people, and that's the name of Asugya, Kub and Asar B'nei Adam. You can never, ever kill somebody when you have multiple people killing somebody. Everybody gets to, Israel's going to say, wait a second. But Medrum, when does the Shtikl Torah work? This depends on the Machlokes HaRishonim, between Rashba and the others. It says, according to what the Rashba said, that the only time that Ptur of Shnayim Shesu applies, that's only the hitting from two different angles. But if they're holding the same stick, they're holding the same trigger down, so that of course they're all held responsible, this Psak of the Beis Din is the Halach equivalent of holding the same stick, because it's all coming out of the same Beis Din. It means Beis Din is authorizing the following Psak. You go ahead and hit this person. And the Beis Din goofed and said, basically hit him 40 times out of 39 times. So that psach that emanated from the Beis Din, that's the lach equivalent of 10 guys holding one stick and hitting the other over the head. So of course they're all held responsible. Also, of course they're all chayav misa. So the Avram was well aware of that Rashba. So he says, Enochinami, that his teretz is only going to work according to those who disagree with the Rashba, right? According to Tosfos, one day in Rashi, yeah, Enochinami. So Avram is willing to concede that this answer doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't have to work for everybody. It only has to work for Tosfos. So not every Rishon has to subscribe to this answer. So the Avram came up with this chap that when this Gemara that's talking about nothing to do with sticks and nothing to do with bullets, it's talking about Rabbanim with the sitting and making a mistake in terms of the court proceedings, Api Alocha, that's considered to be killing somebody at one time with one stick, and therefore all of them could potentially be Potter.
I send my employee out to the forest to chop wood. I give him the axe. Then am I going to be responsible? Why not? It was my axe. The shogeg that happened.
No, but I didn't make him a shliach to do the action that caused the misa. I gave him a little bit of a different thought. That means over here, I told him to hit the guy 40 times, in effect.
I told him to chop the wood.
But chopping the wood is not... I didn't tell him to chop the wood in a way that the thing's going to swing and kill the person. It's a little bit different. Uh-huh. It's not the same shlichus.
No, but what if you give him the axe that's broken, like it's and the blade comes up?
You mean I give him a broken axe and I tell him, but he's still not my shliach for the act of the Ritzich Tzan. I have to think about that. So, can we solve this problem in any other way? Do we have to fall back on this Dvar Avraham, Shtikl Torah, the answer to the kasha? So, there is another fascinating answer that's given to this kasha of the Ktos that's quoted in the Sefer Pre-Yitzchok. Pre-Yitzchok was with Itzel Petterberger. He was a Talmud Bufak of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. He's more known in the world, in the Musa world, than Pre-Yitzchok. But the Pre-Yitzchok was an Adam Godel Adma Oid. It was a Goin Shebegoinim, not just in terms of Musa, in terms of Mamish Lomdos. He wrote a Sefer, two volumes of Pre-Yitzchok. It's Mamish a classic in Lomdos. And he calls from his Rebbe from Yisrael Salanta. He says, we usually think of Rishol Salanta, we think of Musa. That's also true. Rishol Salanta was a Goyen Olam also. So we quote from Rishol Salanta, who says that he thinks the kasha of the Ketos, Rishol Salanta is popular with the Ketos, kasha, he says he thinks the question of the Ketos is predicated on something which is not correct. What is it? We always throw around the term Shaliach Beis Din. That's the term we use for the person who does the actual hitting, the administering of the makas. So says the Pri Yitzchak of Rishol Salanta, that's an incorrect term. The Shaliach Beis is not a Shaliach. This has nothing to do with Shlichos. What the Shaliach Beis role is as follows. The Beis has a job to determine whether a person is chay of Misa, Malchus, etc. Once Beis authorizes that psak, then the mitzvah becomes incumbent upon Klal Yisrael to make sure that that psak is administered. Again, we don't want a hefkevel. It's not, you know, become, every person can be doing whatever they want. Everyone's going to be killing everybody else. There's going to be anarchy. So the Beis has to have a system in place. We have one guy who actually does the administration of the punishment. But he's not acting as a shliach of Beis Din. He's acting in a sense of his own accord. He's fulfilling his, but he is the, I'm afraid to use the word shliach, so I call it representative. He's the quote unquote, he's Klal Yisrael speaking. He's speaking on his own. He's talking on his own he's standing on his own 2 feet. He's not a representative of the Beis Din. This is not shlichus in the classic sense. This is not like Reuben wants to get married, he appoints Shimon as a shliach to get married for him. This is the quote unquote shliach Beis Din acting on behalf of himself as a member of Klal Yisrael. Says of Yisrael Salanta, says, what does that mean, shlichus? How can you even talk about shlichus kibbutzo? The Ketzos' kasha was, oh, the shlichus is shogeg, gavalt, let's throw the action back and make the other fellow, make the Beis Din be chayev. Yisrael Salanta says, what do you mean the other fellow chayev? What other fellow? There's no Beis, there's no shlichus, there's no mishalech, there's no shliach, there's nothing here. It says one guy who's doing something, he's chopping wood. So, not literally chopping wood, he's giving malchus. So the same way that the person who does the chopping wood, he's held responsible, the person who gives the malchus is held responsible, whoever did the mice is held responsible, because he's not a shlich altogether. So again, you could choose the G'dayle Olam as to what way can we deflect the Ketzos' Raya. Either based on our sugya, that was the Avraham's Chiddush, that it all hinges upon our sugya, and those who are nervous, like us, real to go down the root of our sugya, because the Rashba and Taisus and Rashi and Raya, we're not sure that whole cheshbon is correct. So we gave you an Adish Lema. You can go down the root of Ibsal Salanta. But you can see that the great minds of the last 200 years were all focused on this one kasha. They were all looking at this Gemara and Bavakama Daf Lamedes, and they saw, wait a second, what happened to Taisus? Shlichat Vavera. So said, Araya brew against Taisus. And Avraham said, you can answer the kasha, and you can refute the raya. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, you can invite to refute the raya. So different interpretations. But again, according to the list of Avraham, it all boils down to that sugya. So when all the dust settles, the sugya stands, that Iku, Asar, B'nai Adam are going to be a potter. What exactly that means? All of the same stick, different sticks, that Tosfos and Rashi, but Rashi and Rashi is different interpretations, but the basic halacha exists. So hopefully, B'tashem, next week, Shias, we'll pick up on this sugya, we have almost the second half of the sugya, about some of the other parameters, the other ramifications that can emanate from this sugya of Hiku Asar, B'vasach, HaSobazach, HaZach.